Welcome to the Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Keshavanand Prabhuji on the call to enlighten us on the topic Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, 8th Chapter, 24th Sloka. Before handing over the call to Prabhuji, I would like to ask Tiffany Mataji. Please take over the call, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. His Grace Dr. Keshavanand Prabhuji graduated in the year 1999 as a medical doctor in India. Prabhuji then took training under a British-born spiritual saint, His Holiness Bhakti Vikash Swami Maharaj of the Hare Krishna movement, and chose to live the life of a monk. He took serious study of Sanskrit under various scholars and also spent many years studying science, both modern and Vedic. In the last 20 years, he has been conducting seminars and lectures in various colleges and universities in India, as well as abroad on various themes. He is an inspiring speaker, a prolific writer, and has published books in both Hindi and English. Some of his books in English are The Cheaters and the Cheated, Secrets of Yoga, Mighty Efforts, Crazy Ideas, and Science Fails to Explain Life. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. Is Prabhuji on the call, Mataji?
I don't see him yet.
Yeah, Mataji, I don't see him. Sometimes he comes with iPhone.
Yeah, there's one. Participant with iPhone, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, are you there in the call?
The iPhone.
Yeah, Mataji, but Prabhu is not speaking with this meter.
All glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time and assistance to us this morning. Please take over the call, Prabhuji.
No, has anybody read the verse now?
No, not yet, Prabhuji.
So somebody can read verse and.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Tiffany Mataji. Hare Krishna, Tiffany Mataji, are you ready?
Hare Krishna, yes, I will pull the verse up.
Sure.
Oh, thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Api Sweev Asu Bhagavan. Udu patir enam mirga, pati bayan mutter mataram, mirga balakam swasrama, paribrashtam anukampaya, kripana janavatsala, paripati. And the translation in purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, and I'm sorry, no purport for this verse. So the translation, Maharaj Bharata continued to speak like a madman. Seeing above his head the dark marks of the rising moon on the rising moon, which resembled a deer, he said, can it be that moon who is so kind to an unhappy man might also be kind upon my deer, knowing that it has strayed from home and has become motherless. This moon has given the deer shelter near itself just to protect it from the fearful attacks of a lion. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So this is a verse we have to, it doesn't have any purport. So you do like that? I mean to say, without any purport also you discuss or what? If that's it, then I can discuss this.
Hare Krishna, should we read the next one, Prabhuji? Or
I don't know what's the norm there. What's your thing?
Yeah, supposed to be read next, Prabhuji.
Yeah. Just yeah, please read the next part.
Kim Badmaja Vishlecha Jvarvadava Dahana Si Kabir Upatapyamana Hridaya Stala Nalin Nikam Mam Upash Shrita Mrigi Tanayam Shishira Santanuraga Gunita Nijavadana Shalilam Ritamaya Gaba Stibi Swadaya Titi Cha. And translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. After perceiving the moonshine, Maharaj Bharat continued speaking like a crazy person. He said, "The dear sun was so submissive and dear to me that due to its separation, I'm feeling separation from my own sun. Due to the burning fever of this separation, I am suffering as if inflamed by a forest fire. My heart, which is like the lily of the land, is now burning. Seeing me so distressed, the moon is certainly splashing its shining nectar upon me, just as a friend throws water on another friend who has a high fever. In this way, the moon is bringing me happiness." And the purport? According to Ayurvedic treatment, it is said that if one has a high fever, someone should splash him with water after gargling this water. In this way, the fever subsides. Although Bharat Maharaj was very aggrieved due to the separation of his so-called son, the deer, he thought that the moon was splashing gargled water on him from its mouth, and that this water would subdue his high fever, which was raging due to separation from the deer. Hare Krishna.
Okay, yeah, I think I'll stop now. Let's just... Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakar Chakshur Unmilitamena Tasma Shri Guru Namo Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Kutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Govardhana Prasadana Nirvishesh Shunyavadi Prasadana. Okay, is my voice clear to all of you? Loud enough? Okay.
Yes, Prabhuji, it's very clear.
Yeah. Okay, so we are discussing fifth canto. This is fifth chapter, 24th verse. And Bharat Maharaj is in a very problematic situation. Srila Prabhupada mentions two important points in previous purports and in his introduction to this chapter. And the first point to learn from the story of Bharat Maharaj, we all know Bharat Maharaj's story, and I'll come to the specific verse, what's happening. But in general, there are two points to be noted. The first point is, Prabhupada says compassion, the compassion of Bharat Maharaj was the beginning of his fall down. I think you might have noted this specific line by Srila Prabhupada. And that's why Prabhupada said that compassion should be directed to the right place. Otherwise, compassion directed to wrong place can lead to fall down. So you know, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I think in 16th chapter somewhere. So Krishna says in Modes of Material Nature, I think 13th chapter or maybe something 14th, 15th chapter, whatever it is. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in the last chapters, that everything in this material world is in modes of nature. Everything. There is nothing, there is no object, no person, and no circumstance which is devoid of modes of nature. So if you think about it properly, even good things can be in three modes. For example, compassion. compassion also comes in three varieties, or if you don't understand three modes, you can understand it simply. Everything comes in three varieties. So just like if a mango, first class mango, second class mango, third class mangoes, so the rates will be different. Similarly, everything comes in three varieties. So compassion, peace, truthfulness, all these things which we associate with mode of goodness, mostly these things are associated with mode of goodness, but they also come in other two varieties, in passion and ignorance also. And especially in Kali Yuga, if you talk about Kali Yuga, all the qualities of mode of goodness are actually absent, because most of those qualities are found in third class, second class qualities, in mode of passion and ignorance. For example, compassion. Compassion can be mode of ignorance. Compassion can be mode of passion. Compassion can be mode of goodness. Generally, we think compassion is a mode of goodness, and that's the case. But in Kali Yuga, people are so insane, and people are wired up so wrongly that they do compassion in mode of ignorance. So, and Srila Prabhupada speaks that. Srila Prabhupada says compassion for the body is in mode of ignorance. Prabhupada says that in small books. So you might see people in this Kali Yuga who exhibit good qualities. They are compassionate, they help people, like philanthropic institutions, or maybe suppose your neighbor is a good man, he helps everybody, he's compassionate, they might be peaceful, they might be truthful. So we find people who are like that. So are they in mode of goodness? No, they are in mode of ignorance. Their truthfulness, their goodness, their peacefulness, their compassion, it's all in ignorance, because they're speaking truth, which is devoid of Krishna. They're attached to compassion, which is on mundane platform. And that's what is happening here in Bharat Maharaj story. And that's why I told, this is a very important teaching from Bharat Maharaj whole episode. The first important teaching which Prabhupada brings is, Bharat Maharaj is showing extreme compassion for this deer. So one might think he's in mode of goodness, but no, he's in mode of ignorance, complete ignorance, because he's compassionate for the deer and he has forgotten his spiritual life and he doesn't understand what he's doing. And so we'll come to this verse, specific verse now. He's become almost mad. One of the quality of ignorance, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, is madness, pramad. Pramad, nidra, alasya. Krishna says, if you want to know that a person is in mode of ignorance, see the symptoms. One of the symptoms is pramad. He's mad. And Bharat Maharaj has descended into madness. So this means his compassion was not out of mode of goodness. It was out of the mode of ignorance. And that's very important insight from this Bharat Maharaj episode. So don't think if people have good qualities, they're in mode of goodness. No. Their goodness might be coming out of ignorance. And that's why we see, so Srila Prabhupada says, there are three modes, mode of goodness, mode of ignorance, mode of passion, three modes. But then Prabhupada says, these modes intermingle. And that so there are permutation combinations of these modes. And thus we have, so although we have three shades, red, blue, and green, but when they mix, they produce a lot of shades. Similarly, when these modes, they mix with each other, produces so many other modes. So even in mode of ignorance, there can be mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance further. You see, that's how it's very complicated. So it's very difficult to identify this is mode of goodness, this is passion, this is ignorance. It's very difficult to identify. But in Bharat Maharaj's case, at least we're sure, his compassion was out of mode of ignorance, and that led to his fall down, and he became mad, pramad. He descended into madness, as we can see now. Another important teaching from Bharat Maharaj episode is, Srila Prabhupada says, even very advanced devotees can fall down, like Bharat Maharaj. So Srila Prabhupada says, Bharat Maharaj was very advanced. Srila Prabhupada writes in previous purports, he was almost at the level of love of God. Almost, Srila Prabhupada writes in the introduction to this chapter, or somewhere in the initial verses. He was very near to love of God, but nevertheless he fell down. The whole point of this story is, no matter how much advanced you are, be very, very careful. So where is Bharat Maharaj? Bharat Maharaj, as Srila Prabhupada mentions, Bharat Maharaj could leave the entire kingdom. Bharat Maharaj was the king of the entire earth. He could leave that. Just like a person passes stool in the in the toilet, and then who thinks about that stool? I mean, just nobody thinks about that stool the next moment. It's gone. Who cares for that? Malavat. That's called Malavat. Bharat Maharaj left this entire world, the riches of the entire world. It's not a small thing. Bharat Maharaj was not the king of a state or a city or a country, he was king of the entire world. Bharat. From Bharat comes Bharat. Some people say Bharat comes from the name Bharat. But he left everything. He left everything. Just like a person passes stool in the toilet. He didn't think about it. But he couldn't leave attachment to the deer. You can imagine how on the earth can we understand it? This story of Bharat Maharaj is just to prove that no matter how much advanced you are, no matter you might be on the level of bhava or whatever, Bharat Maharaj was supposed to be on the level of bhava. He was exhibiting all symptoms. Bhava means love has sprouted in his heart. But nevertheless, he became attached to a deer, and this is his position. Now, this is what the verse I'm going to read. He descended into mode of darkness to such an extent that he became mad. So that's the second teaching. Never be overconfident that now I'm safe. In fact, all spiritual leaders, I mean to say Gaudiya Vaishnavas or Ramanuj or Madhva, Christianity, Islam, all of them unanimously, so even Buddhism, at least one unanimous opinion is there, at least one, that never think you are safe. The worst enemy of ourself is us. And that's what happened to Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj left everything. He went to that ashram, Pulaha ashram. And in that ashram, only he was the only person. No, that was the tragedy there. He made his own ashram. And he was the only person there. And he left there, he was sitting there. So who made him fall down? Who made him fall down? He himself. He couldn't even realize that he's making himself fall down. And that's why this verse is there. He began to speak like a madman. He didn't realize that he is harming himself. He couldn't realize. Although he was almost self-realized person, but by illusion, he fell into illusion. So that's how dangerous we are for ourselves. We will harm ourselves to such an extent that we will not even realize what we are doing to ourselves. And that's what Bharat Maharaj is doing now. That's what he's doing now. He's harming his soul, he's harming himself, and he doesn't realize what he's doing. In fact, on the contrary, he thinks he's actually having mercy on himself. This is what is happening here. He's thinking he's having mercy on himself and on his companion, the deer. So that's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, the only cause of fall down of anyone in on spiritual path, the only cause of fall down is the person himself. There is no external cause. So what's the problem in ourselves that we cause our fall down? False ego. We don't want to take opinion from others. We don't want to talk with others. Whatever opinion we make, we make. Bharat Maharaj, he made his own opinion. Bharat Maharaj thought, okay, I'll leave the kingdom, I'll go to Kula Ashram, and then I'll stay there on the bank of the Gandaki River, and then I will do my spiritual life. So it seems he didn't consult anybody. There is a hint in this episode of Bharat Maharaj that he didn't consult anybody. He might have asked some people, you know, his ministers or some brahmanas, but he didn't consult anybody seriously, and that's why he was staying alone in that ashram. First of all, if Bharat Maharaj would have consulted somebody, so anybody who would be advanced in spiritual life, they would have immediately warned him, don't stay alone. And the fact Bharat Maharaj chose to stay alone and he became attached to deer, and in this whole episode, there is nobody warning Bharat Maharaj that, see, this is what you're doing. So if you see the whole episode, there is no one around Bharat Maharaj. Because if there were some friends, then Bhagavatam would have, so Bhagavatam would have recorded, you know, Bharat Maharaj's friend is saying to Bharat, please, don't do like this. Please don't become attached to deer. Let's do this. There's nothing like this. So this seems Bharat Maharaj became overconfident, and he was carried off by his renunciation. It seems Bharat Maharaj was attached to his renunciation. That also happens. Sometimes you're so renounced that you're attached to your own renunciation. You're so tyagi that you're attached to your own tyaginess. That's all that happens. He was like that, and then he fell down. So this is a second very important teaching of this Bharat Maharaj episode, that never think, no matter how much advanced you are, never think you're safe, because anything can happen to anybody at any time. And the cause will be ourselves. And we are not even realize. So anyway, so because of these problems, Bharat Maharaj has now gone to such a level, he has gone to madness. One of the symptoms of mode of ignorance. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, mode of ignorance, how do you recognize a person is mode of ignorance? He'll feel sleepy, nidra, alasya, he will feel laziness. And then third is pramad, he will become mad. So he's almost become mad. So just like a person drinks wine, that wine will take in mode of ignorance. And then people become lazy, they'll sleep, they become mad, they do weird activities. So what Bharat Maharaj is doing now here? So let's come to this verse after this discussion. Bharat Maharaj, this verse says, Api Suedasau Bhagwan Udupa Pati. This verse says that Bharat Maharaj is speaking like a bad man. Just like Srimati Radharani, she speaks like a mad woman in love of Krishna, Bharat Maharaj is speaking like a madman in love of deer. His so-called compassion for the deer, which was in fact born of mode of ignorance and not in mode of goodness, led him to such a situation. He became so attached to a deer, and so he is talking like a madman. So what is saying? He's saying, "Api asya, api swedasau Bhagwan Udupati." So he's sitting in the night, and he's seeing the moon. One of the names of moon is here is Udupati. So you see, in South India there is a place Udupi. So Udupi is a headquarters of Madhva Sampradaya, and there this Udupi word is coming from Udupa. So Udu means stars, and Pa means father. Just like in Hindi, we say Papa. So even in Roman language, these popes, the word Pope is coming from Papa. So if you go to Orthodox, so original Latin, these popes, these Christian fathers, father, people say Christian father, isn't it? So the father is English word, but the Roman word for this is Pope, Papa. And then Papa then became Pope because Britishers couldn't pronounce Papa. And then they started speaking, what's Papa? Popo? Pope? They became like that. So then Papa is coming from Sanskrit. Pa. Pa means father. And Udu means stars. So moon is called Udu Pa. Why? Because moon is the lord of stars. Think of stars. And that's another issue. Srila Prabhupada says moon is a star. But anyway, that's some other issue. But he's a king of stars. So here, instead of the word Udupa, the word is used Udupatir. It's the same thing. The husband of stars. It's one of the same. Either the lord of stars or the husband. So Srila Prabhupada translates it as the lord of stars. The moon. He translates as moon. So Bharat Maharaj is seeing the moon. And seeing the moon, the whole point is Bharat Maharaj is connecting everything to deer. Just like an advanced devotee, they connect everything to Krishna. Just like when Srimati Radharani, she sees the moon, she remembers Krishna's face. When she sees sky, she remembers Krishna's color. When she sees Tamal Vriksh, she remembers the Ghansham color of Krishna. So like that. So she's always remembering Krishna. Whatever she sees in this material world or whatever things in spiritual world, she remembers Krishna. Similarly, that's a position which Bharat Maharaj has descended into. Srimati Radharani is in transcendental Mahabhava state and Bharat Maharaj is in materialistic Mahabhava state. He's in Abhinivesh, Avidya Asmita Abhinivesh. He is to come mad. So when he saw moon, he remembered deer. So when Bharat Maharaj used to see the river, he used to remember his friend deer. When he used to eat food, he used to remember his friend deer. When he saw the moon, he remembered deer because you see on the moon there are spots. So when you see the spots, so when he saw the spots on the moon, he remembered the face of his friend, the deer. Who might be sleeping next to Bharat Maharaj in this scene. And Bharat Maharaj is saying, Bhagwan Udupati, he's saying the Lord Moon, he's seeing the moon, and then he's praying to the moon. And what Enam means this deer, and he's saying, oh my dear moon, please be kind to this deer, my friend. Please be kind to him. You see, people whom you love, the point is, people whom you love, you tend to see them everywhere. So just like a mother. So whatever mother sees, she remembers a child and she connects everything to a child. So a mother might go for shopping, but then, so whatever she sees, she will think, so this thing I can take from a child. This cloth I can take from a child. This food I'll take from a child. Everything, she's connecting everything to her child. Similarly, when Bharat Maharaj saw the moon, he said to moon, please be kind to my friend deer. Now why the moon should be kind to his because he Vigapati Bhayan. Because he says the deer in the forest are very fearful of lion, because the lion, so we see all lion is a king of forest. And lion can eat these small deers, and especially this deer that Parmaraj is having. It's very, so it's almost like a baby, it's just born. And Bharat Maharaj is so infatuated about that deer. And so he says, this deer is alone and is so fearful of lion and all these beasts there in the jungle. So my dear Lord of stars, you're also king. And you can protect this small baby from the lion king. Now that's what Bharat Maharaj is trying to bargain with the moon. Now another point is Bharat Maharaj is talking to the moon. Now that's very interesting. Moon is a dead thing. How can you talk with that? This can only happen when a person is mad in love with somebody. This cannot happen. A sensible man will not talk to moon. But Bharat Maharaj is talking. This shows that he has entered madness, a mundane infatuation and obsession for this deer. And this can happen, you see. If you're not careful, we'll become attached to something in this material world and we'll become obsessed and infatuated. Now, you might think it will not happen to us, but But it has already happened to us. We are all infatuated and obsessed about our own bodies. What about that? For Bharat Maharaj, it's a deal. But this story is there in Bhagavatam to make us realize we also have a deer, and that deer is our own body. This body is dear to us in both ways, D-E-A-R and B-E-E-R, in both ways. We are attached to a body. We are all obsessed and infatuated for our bodies. Anything happens to a body, we are fearful. Just like Bharat Maharaj is. He's so fearful. Something might happen to my friend dear. He's so fearful, and then he's praying to moon, please protect it. Mrigapati Bhayat. So the rule is, so if you love somebody, his fear becomes your fear. The fear of your lover becomes your fear. The pain of your lover will become your pain. That's how love works. Now, this whole incidence can also be... this whole incidence can also be looked upon from a very different angle. This whole incidence is, first of all, warning us, be careful. Don't fall in love with anything in this material world. But on the contrary, this whole episode is also helping us to realize what is love? What's the power of love? Love can take you to spiritual world. Love can make you detached from everything in this material world. It's so powerful. And simultaneously, love can make you completely attached in this material world and make you completely detached from spiritual world. That's the power of love. Love can subdue you. Love can overcome you. Love can infatuate you. That's the power of love. No matter how much big person, how much powerful person you are. Julius Caesar, Cleopatra, what happened to them? Big kings, but they fall down due to the love of a woman. That's a very common story. So this whole incident can also be looked upon in a very different angle. In these two verses, Sukhdeva Goswami is also trying to show the power of love. If love is misdirected, it can make you fall down. If it is properly directed towards Krishna, it can make you elevate. That's the power of love. Of course, when love is misdirected to this material world, that's called lust. That's another thing. We call it lust, we don't call it love. But at the same time, so if we talk in the terminology of love, we can feel the power of love. So this is what love has done to Bharat Maharaj. Mundane love. Bharat Maharaj has completely forgotten all his spiritual practices. He's completely forgotten he's the king of entire world. He's completely renounced his renunciation. He has completely forgotten that he's harming himself. He's forgotten that he left everything, but he's attached to this small baby deer. And also, if you read in previous verses, love, this kind of love, this kind of mundane love has also provided Bharat Maharaj. This Bharat Maharaj, it has also provided Bharat Maharaj with false logics. So love can actually convince you. So it's not that from rationality comes love. That's not the point. From love comes rationality. From love proceeds intelligence. If you love a subject, then you will apply your intelligence and then you will get good logic. But if you don't love a subject, you will not be interested in that and then you will not apply intelligence. So love gave Bharat Maharaj wrong logics. And Bharat Maharaj was thinking, oh my God, I'm a saint and I should have compassion for the deer. So what kind of saint I would be if I don't have compassion? All these kind of false logics appeared in the heart of Bharat Maharaj. Why? Because he fell in love with this deer. So love is such a powerful force. That's why our whole body of Vaishnava philosophy is revolving around love. And that's why this whole incident is there. Why Sukadeva Swami would be interested to talk about Bharat Maharaj, especially fall down of Bharat Maharaj? Of course, one point is Sukadeva Swami wants to warn us, never be careful, so never be egoistic and think you are safe. You can fall down at any moment. You can be almost near love of God, but still you can fall down. Don't think you are safe. By the same time, Sukadeva Goswami, if you really analyze all the stories of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami has brought this point of love. 10th canto is all about, 10th canto is all about directing love to a proper channel, to spiritual world, towards Krishna. And first to 9th canto is all about, mostly it's all about misdirected love. It's all about misdirected love. Whether you take Bharat Maharaj's fall down, or whether you take Ajamil, that's also misdirected love for his child and for the prostitute. Or whether you take Kardava Muni, or maybe blah blah blah, whatever, misdirected towards his child. So all these things, I mean to say, first to 9th cantos is all about misdirected love. And 10th canto then, Sukadeva Goswami is coming. Okay, now you know what's misdirected love. And now you know how people fall down because of misdirected love. And 10th canto is, okay, now you direct your love in proper place towards Krishna. Misdirected love towards, for people, for animals, for situations, for yoga, for jnana. All these things, all misdirected love. So you will see Sukadeva Goswami is always picking up this theme of love. Because love is everything. That's our Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. For jnanis, knowledge is everything. For yogis, meditation is everything. For bhogis and karmis, money is everything. Sense gratification. But for devotees, love is everything. And that's what Krishna consciousness is all about. Directing love from this material world to spiritual world. That is what is Krishna. That's actually Srila Prabhupada says. The art of Krishna consciousness is to redirect your love towards Krishna. I think Prabhupada says in relation to Krishna consciousness. That's the art of Krishna consciousness. That's what is this whole sadhana is doing. This chanting, this mangalarti, this class. What we are doing. We are trying to direct your love from misdirection to proper direction. And that's difficult because now our love is misdirected to this place, to this material world, at the level of Bharat Maharaj. At the level of Bharat Maharaj is obsessed, infatuated, addicted. And that's what our love has come to be for this flesh, for this matter, for our own lives. So you can actually take out love. You can pull your love from objects of this material world. Bharat Maharaj did that. He left his whole kingdom. He actually pulled out his love from every object in this whole world. But more difficult than that is to pull your love from your own body. And even more difficult than that is to actually pull your love from your own life. We're all attached to our own life, and that's the most difficult thing. Your own life. But even more difficult than that is to pull out love from your own respect. Because we see in this material world, people can die, but they cannot be a defamer. And it is said, it is said in scriptures, so defame is worse than death. People die, isn't it? People do suicide, people give up their life, and they say, no. Now I'm defamed and I'm disrespected in society. So I cannot live anymore. So they give up their life. So even more difficult than that is to pull out love from your respect, from your self-respect and self-adoration. That's the most difficult. That's almost impossible. And that's why we see whole, you see, this. So anyway. So Bharat Maharaj, he could actually pull out misdirected love from this whole world, from objects, from people, but he couldn't pull out his love from his own ideas. He was attached. He loved his own ideas. He loved his own ideas. He didn't love people. He didn't love objects. He didn't love money. He didn't love females. He left everything. But he loved something which he should not have loved. And that's why he fell down. And what did he love? He loved his own saintliness. He loved his compassion. He loved his own saintliness. And that led him to his fall down. Anything you are attached to, you will fall down. If you are attached to your own saintliness, you will fall down. And that's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Ami to Vaishnav e buddhi hoila, amani na manad hoi. If I think I am a Vaishnav, and I am attached to this concept that I am a Vaishnav, of course we are devotees, but if we are attached to this concept, I am a devotee, then we are going to fall down. So that's what Bharat Maharaj has become mad. He's praying to moon. He's talking to moon. What kind of madness is this? Who talks to moon? Udupati. Yani saying, oh, my dear moon, please protect this small deer. So he's not asking for his own protection. That's the level he has descended on. This is the working of love. Love will make you lose interest in yourself. That's the power of love. There is no other process, no other spiritual process that will make you lose interest in yourself. There is no other process. Yoga, jnana, karma, it can give you knowledge, it can give you renunciation, it can give you religious mindedness, but it cannot make you lose interest in yourself. The only process which can make you lose interest in yourself is love. Which is bhakti. So that's bhakti means love. That's it. The only thing is that. And that's why Mahaprabhu says bhakti is the highest process. Because if you don't lose interest in yourself, we are blocked. And so there was one saint in Udupi, Kanak Das, and he said when I go, then I may go. He said that. And that's what Krishna will test us. Have you lost interest in yourself? That's what Krishna is looking for. And Bharat Maharaj failed in that. Bharat Maharaj lost interest in everything. He lost interest in everything. But then why is God interested in this deer? That's quite shocking, isn't it? A person who has lost interest in everything, who has lost in money, beautiful females, a whole kingdom, and has got interest in this deer, how is this possible? There's something going on which we cannot see, which Sukhdeva Goswami has not spelled out, which he has kept for us a puzzle to figure out. Why a person who lost interest in everything has again become and has again got interest in a small deer which is of no value? Why a person who has lost love for everything in this material, but yes, he is again come to love with this deer, a wild beast? Why? What's happening? The whole problem here is Bharat Maharaj could leave everything, but he couldn't leave himself. He couldn't leave his own image. He loved his own image as a saint. And that's why Bharat Maharaj came up with the logic. I am a saint, and a saint without compassion is no saint. So I should have compassion for this deer. You see, that logic came from the love for his own image. And that's why you see, so that's why it is said, so I think there's one of the saying that, that people can lose, that people can lose love or interest in everything except his own image. That's very difficult. That's very, very difficult. And that's what happened with Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj couldn't leave love for his own image, for his own self, for his own ideas, and he fell down. And so he's talking to this moon, and he's saying, you please take care of this small deer. He is fearful in this, in this, in this, in this material world. So he says, so is Mirgapati Bhaya, Mritamatram, this deer has lost his mother. Mriga Balakam, this deer is so small, baby, he can't even help himself. Swa Ashram Paribhrashtam, this deer is actually, what Srila Prabhupada, who has strayed from its ashram. So this deer has lost his own family. He's helpless. He's guideless. Anukampaya. Please have compassion on this moon. You see, Bharat Maharaj is saying, have compassion on this moon. It's this fifth canto, fifth chapter, 25th, fourth verse. 5, 5, 24. 5, 8, 24. So this verse is coming, anukampaya. This is quite complex because this word anukampaya, this comes here. By this word, Bharat Maharaj is saying anukampaya. Please have compassion on this deer. Why? Because Bharat Maharaj is seeing himself in the moon. Bharat Maharaj is seeing himself in the moon. Bharat Maharaj is compassionate to the deer. So he's asking the moon to be also be compassionate to the deer. Bharat Maharaj shows he's completely attached not just to deer, but he's completely attached to compassion. And that's the story all about. The story is not really about deer. Because instead of deer, it could have been a lion baby, it could have been a dog puppy, it could have been something else. Why deer? I can say anything. But this story is all about attachment to compassion. And that's why Prabhupada says Bharat Maharaj's compassion was the beginning of his fall, the beginning of his decline. So although externally it seems that Bharat Maharaj, this story is about Bharat Maharaj's attachment to deer, but no, this story is about Bharat Maharaj's attachment to his own compassion, to his own self. That's what happens. And that's what we have to be careful of. When we become devotees, we will start getting good qualities and then we will become attached to it. Or we might be being attached to our own devotion. I am a devotee. I have a lot of devotion. And that's the cause of fall down. That's what Sukadeva Goswami is trying to inform us through this whole story of Bharat and Deva Maharaj. We have to understand this. Otherwise, if we don't really go deep in the story, then we will think, oh, this is stories about deer and Bharat and we become attached. So I'll not become attached to things of this material world. No, this is not talking about attachment to things of this material world. That Bharat Maharaj has left. This is talking about attachment to your own self, to your own image, to your own ideas, which is impossible to get rid of. And that's why Bharat Maharaj fell down from such an elevated stage. Nobody falls down from the level of bhava because of attachment or love for mundane objects. There's not a single example in the entire Shrimad Bhagavatam. There might be some exceptions somewhere, I don't know. But nobody falls down from the level of bhava because of attachment to some object, to some people. That is already gone. Anarth Nivritti and everything is done. Anarth Nivritti, Nishtha, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhav. What's happening at that level? There has to be some anarthas at the level of bhava, which makes people fall down. And that's another very deep insight that even at the level of bhava, there are some anarthas. Now you can think about it, no? So what's that Bhagavatam shloka? Nashta prayesho vadreshu nityam bhagavata seva. Almost all anarthas destroyed, but some anarthas are there, even at level of bhava. Until unless you don't achieve the platform of love of God, there will be anarthas. But at the level of bhava, there are subtle anarthas, which is there in Bharat Maharaj. And that subtle anartha, what do we call it in English? That subtle contamination in Bharat Maharaj is attachment to himself, his own image, his own devotion, his own saintliness, which made him fall down. And that is almost impossible to get rid. And you see how he has become. And then he's saying, have compassion on this deer. He is seeing himself in moon. He actually is not praying to moon. He's praying to himself. That's what is happening. He's actually fulfilling his own desire by talking to the moon. Moon is his own image. Moon is he himself. You see, he has entered into madness. He's seeing himself in the moon. And because he's compassionate to the deer, he's also asking moon to be compassionate. That's what is happening here. And Kripa Jana Vatsala Paripati. So please have Kripa Jana Vatsala. Vatsala, this deer is very is alone. And oh my dear moon, you are Kripa Jana Vatsala. Actually, he's saying to himself, I am Kripa Jana Vatsala. He's not saying to moon. Moon is a dead thing. I am a saint and I am a Kripa Jana Vatsala. I am compassionate towards fallen people. And thus I should be compassionate towards you. And that's a big trap, even for us. I am a devotee. I should be compassionate to everybody. And I should spread this message. I should save people. Because people are dear. You see in Bible? Bible, Christ was called a shepherd. And everything was a flock. Similarly, there's so many dears. And we are like Bharat and Bharat Maharaj. And now we want to save these deers from the clutches of Maya, and we have to be compassionate. So because what's a saint without compassion? And that's good compassion because we are giving them spiritual knowledge. But that also we have to be careful. If we are attached to our own compassion, if we think I am compassionate and I'm going to save them, then you fall down. Then you become attached to those people, and that's what happens in this material world. People develop congregation. People preach to people, people develop congregation. They're compassionate towards their congregation, but then they become attached to their congregation. Congregation is their deer and they are the shepherd, and they become attached to their own congregation. And then when some other preacher comes and he tries to take the people from their congregation, then this person who has developed congregation for many years, they become disturbed. Oh my God, those people are snatching up people, our people. This is our, my dear Bharat Maharaj. My people, because I did compassion on them, I saved them, and then this whole problem, and then you are trapped in this material. So no, we are not compassionate. That's the whole point there. The whatever compassion we have, that's due to parampara. It's not our own compassion. We are all nonsense people. We are all having Tadashmasaram Hidem Vatayam. Our heart is like steel. Whatever compassion we are extending, we are like a postman. We are extending the compassion of Parampara. That's all. And if that's the case, then you should not be attached to your congregation. And if you're attached to your congregation, then there's a whole problem. We can take care of them, but the test of the attachment to congregation is that when that congregation wants to leave you, wants to go somewhere else, you will not allow them to do so. You will say, that is bad, that is bad, that is bad, or you will become tense. So that's what is, so you see this whole story of Bharat Maharaj and deer, it can, you see, we have to think what Sukhdev Goswami is saying. Sukhdev Goswami is not telling stories to a child to make him sleep. Bharat Maharaj becoming attached to deer. I mean, he could have quoted some other story. There are so many people who has fallen down in history because of attachment to some silly things. Bharat Maharaj is attached to a silly thing like Bharat deer, and why Sukhdev Goswami is taking all pains to quote this story? And he's explaining what Bharat Maharaj is doing. He's talking to moon and this and that. Why he needs to go in such a detail? Because there are so many other deep secrets. Sukhdev Goswami is asking us to think about it. And through this whole story, he is saying, he's actually teaching us, get above attachment to your own self. It's not talking about deer. And he's also teaching what's the power of love. Love can make you mad, either for Krishna, either for your own self. Bharat Maharaj has fallen in love with himself. He's not fallen in love with deer. And that's why he's able to see himself, his own qualities in moon. And he's talking to moon. And that's why he's attached to deer. So we all know sense gratification, love at the platform of sense gratification, It's not love for anybody else. It's love for oneself. And that's then extended to other people. He has fallen into love with himself. This is the extreme example of narcissism. Bharat Maharaj has become a narcissist. He's just thinking about himself. And his things like moon, deer, that's what is happening. Mode of ignorance ultimately leads you to narcissist. Bharat Maharaj has become a narcissist. And then these are the subtle teachings in this whole story of Bharat. And we really have to think about it. Otherwise, we will just read some superficial things. And then this is Bhagavatam. We know about Bharat Maharaj's story, but now we don't know. So in the next verse, 25th verse, Bharat Maharaj is feeling separation from deer. This is crazy. He's become narcissist, he's become infatuated, obsessed, addicted, and now he's feeling separation from the deer. This is exactly Divyon Madhav Srimati Radharani. Radharani is doing the same thing in spiritual world for Krishna. He's doing the same thing in this material world, for this deer. Same thing. But there's a difference. The difference is Radharani is doing the same thing. She is loving Krishna for Krishna. But here Bharat Maharaj is loving deer for himself. Not for the deer, by the way. Because that's the difference between mundane love and spiritual love. Although it seems that Bharat Maharaj is loving deer and is becoming mad in love with deer, but no, that's not the point. He is becoming mad in love with himself. You could easily replace the deer with a puppy or with a female or with a laptop. You can easily do that. It's nothing to do with anything else except oneself. This is material life. Material life is all about yourself. It's nothing to do with your family, with your children, with your husband, it's nothing to do with that. It's everything to do with yourself. And that's why there's one of the Upanishad, Kathopanishad or Taittiriya, I don't know, some Upanishad, it says, so it clearly says, anybody who says he loves his wife, actually he loves himself. That's why he loves his wife. Anybody who says I love my children, actually loves himself. That's why he loves his children. Anybody who says I love this money, actually he loves himself. And that's why he loves his money. It's all about oneself. And that's illusion. That's very difficult to figure out. And for that, this whole phenomena, Srila Prabhupada has used the word extended sense gratification. We love anything in this material world. Why? Because we start seeing ourselves in that thing. So mother sees herself in the child. Child is her extension. The wife sees herself in the husband. This is my husband. So she sees her extension in the husband. So that's why she loves the husband. Similarly, Bharat Maharaj is seeing himself in the deer. He is seeing himself in the moon. And that's why he loves deer. That's why he loves moon. And this is called mundane madness. Mundane Mahabhav. This is called, what's that? Divyon Mahabhav. And this is called Bhogon Mahabhav. That's always there. He's become mad. So he's feeling separation from a deer. What has happened to him? And there's nobody around to warn him, to tell to him. If somebody would have been there in this situation, Bharat Maharaj would not have listened even to him. He has gone into an incurable situation. Nobody can cure him. And that's why he's talking about these things. So these are the subtle teachings from this whole incident. Actually, if you think about it, there are so many other teachings from this whole incident of Bharat and Divya Maharaj, but I think that's what Sukadeva Goswami is trying to convey. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anything anybody wants to ask, I'll just stand up.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much Prabhuji for such a wonderful class and with live examples. Thank you, Prabhuji. Devotees, if anyone has any questions, please go ahead. And I request Shlok Prabhuji, please go ahead with your question, Prabhuji.
Shlok Prabhuji, his name is Shlok. I thought the course is Shlok. Hare Krishna. Yes, Hare Krishna.
Yeah,
we can't hear anything.
No, he so has written in chat.
One comment I have given the question.
Yeah, Dandavat Pranam, Hare Krishna Prabhu. My question is that will leaving home and joining Brahmachari Ashram be good if from a non-devotee family? I have been watching His Holiness Bhakti Vikas Maharaj daily.
So, what's the question?
No, Prabhuji, there's nothing.
There's no question.
I think he wants to know whether joining Brahmachari Ashram from a coming from a non-devotee family, is it okay or not, maybe?
Yeah, if that's the question, then 100% it's not okay, it's desired. Non-devotee family, you are there. If it was a devotee family, then it would have been a different scenario. But it's non-devotee family, then don't ask, just join. That's all. Just leave and join. At least this is my opinion. If you're asking me, this is my opinion. People can have different opinions. But he's asking me, and what I say is, if you're from non-devotee family, just leave and join. That's all. Why to think second thought? What's the second thing? If your father, mother would have been a devotee, then you would have thought what to do. But there is no thought. Just leave everything. Just become devotee. That's all. Perfect your life. Finish.
Yeah. I hope Shlok Prabhuji that answered your question. Yeah, Tiffany Mataji, please go ahead, Mataji.
Oh, but, well, Shlok Prabhu, so are you from India?
He is, Prabhuji, he is from India.
Okay, so can you give your phone number on this chat? So I'll call you and talk to you about your situation. So type your phone number so that I can see that. I'll just have a look at the phone. Yeah, yeah. So anybody wants to ask a question, they can go ahead. By the time is. Okay.
Please accept
yes.
My obeisances. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for the wonderful, wonderful class. I really appreciate your explanation of extended sense gratification. I think that's something that's very important to remember. I have a couple of questions. The first one, going back to what you were speaking of in the beginning, about the different modes, and I was wondering if you could give an example of goodness in the mode of rajas.
Oh, okay. So, okay, fine. So, goodness in mode of ignorance is Bharat Maharaj, as I told. Mm-hmm. There is a number. Really?
Yeah.
So, there's a number that's coming. Phone number, it just came on the screen. So, what's the number? How can we see the number? It's gone from the screen. What do you do? Can anybody suggest me?
Can you on the chat box, Prabhuji?
Oh, chat box. Okay, chat box. Okay, here's the number. Chat box. You can see that?
Oh, no. Did you put it up?
Wait. So, where is the camera? Okay, this is the number. And I'll take a screenshot of this. No, a photograph of this. Yeah, I think this is it. Okay, thank you, Shlok Prabhu, for this, your number. Again? Okay, so yeah, Tiffany Mataji, sorry for that.
It's okay.
So your question was examples. So now, mode of ignorance, example of goodness is Bharat Maharaj, compassion and mode of ignorance.
Right.
Now, okay. So what's compassion and mode of passion? For example, let's take compassion. Compassion and mode of ignorance is Bharat Maharaj. He sees attached to himself and he's seeing himself everywhere. Compassion and mode of passion is being compassionate towards, for example, saintly people. So passion means you know what is right, what is wrong. Mm-hmm. But you are unable to decide what to do. That's the whole point. So like some people have compassion for saintly people, so they go and distribute, okay, so someone to get some food or some blankets. So let's give to saintly people. That's good. At least they are holy people. But he has no understanding what's holiness. He has no clear conception. A very foggy conception is there. So that's called mode of passion. in mode of passion, in mode of ignorance is darkness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mode of darkness. So you don't know what's right, what is wrong. Like Bharat, he didn't know compassionate to be compassionate towards a deer while beast. It's wrong. He couldn't really, his mind didn't work. He become mad. Mode of passion, there is some twilight. There is some rays, there is some light, but it's not full light. It's not prakashatam. Mm-hmm. It's mode of passion. So it's a foggy, it's a hazy thing. You can see something two ways, some right, some wrong. But you can't decide what's happening. You don't have a clear conception. So this is mode of passion. You know, people are compassionate towards good people, towards society, to help them. It seems okay, but they have no clear conception what they're doing, why they're doing, why they're helping holy people, why they're helping temple. This is a mode of passion, compassion. And compassion and mode of goodness. Compassion and mode of goodness is being compassionate for the soul, for example. I mean to say, so like spiritual, Prabhupada says, being compassionate for the soul and not the body. So that's being in mode of goodness. Okay, so you give spiritual knowledge to people. And that compassion for the body, and it's not good. You have to save soul from this material world, birth and disease. Compassion and mode of goodness. But compassion beyond modes is related to Krishna. So then you're compassionate then your message is not just your spirit, soul, and not this body. Then your message is love Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, there's no hope. So that's for compassion. So similarly, you can set for truthfulness. Truthfulness is mode of ignorance. So there's an example, truthfulness in mode of ignorance is, so there are two people who always speak lies, and their best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And they always speak lies. But when the friend speak lies to another friend, then he says, oh, you should be at least truthful to me. Why is being lied to me? We should be truthful among ourselves. Yeah, we are liars. But that's in mode of ignorance. Truthful in mode of ignorance. They're crazy. They're liars. But they want to speak truth to each other. They don't know what they're doing. So that's truthful in mode of ignorance. And so that's this whole material world all about. Isn't it? We speak lies here, there to everybody. But when it comes to us, then we say, oh, you should speak truth to us, to me at least. And then when the guy are speaking lie to everybody else. So that's... And then truthfulness in mode of passion. Truthfulness in mode of passion is that you speak truthfulness to gain some profit.
Mm.
So that's how Krishna defines in mode of passion. Mode of passion is you use something for gaining some profit, isn't it? That's the symptom of mode of passion.
Mm-hmm.
So you're truthful, you use your truthfulness for money, for position. You see, so what's that called? Maleficent? Yeah, maleficent, malevolent people, you know. So what's it called? Machiavelli? Yeah, Machiavellian. Yeah, so you look in the Machiavellian. So Machiavellian are people. You ask this goodness in mode of passion. Goodness in mode of passion. Typical example is Machiavellian people. So Machiavellian people are those people who know how to use goodness to exploit others and to gain profit.
Okay. Yeah.
So that is typical example of goodness in mode of passion.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, for example, truthfulness. No, this is, anyway, I answered your question in one line. Machiavellian. You see what's Machiavellian.
Yeah.
So Machiavellian was a prince and he wrote a book. So there's a beautiful book, Machiavellian. Mm-hmm. So he wrote a book on himself. And he wanted to show people, it's a book about politics, actually. So previous to this prince, Machiavellian, people were doing politics and people were doing dirty tricks to exploit others. And then, but then this, he came and he said, you know, I have a different idea. You can use goodness to exploit others.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll show you how to do that. And so he wrote this book, Machiavellian, and then this whole concept came. So that is goodness and compassion. That's
okay. Thank you, Prabhu. I have one more question, but I see Hari has been waiting. Maybe
no, you ask, no problem.
Okay. It's kind of it's kind of a little off topic. I was just wondering if there are different words in Sanskrit for love. You know, like some languages have different words for levels of love or types of love.
Yeah. There are so many words for love. Actually, Prabhupada writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita. I can't really paraphrase him, but Prabhupada writes there. So we cannot do justice for this translation of Chaitanya Charitamrita because all the different words in Sanskrit for love, which has different shades, we have to translate it as love. So if you don't read Chaitanya Charitamrita in Bengali, you miss 90% of Chaitanya Charitamrita. If you read in English, 90% is my own speculation, I mean to say. But you miss a whole big chunk of Chaitanya Charitamrita if you don't know Bengali, because Prabhupada is translating as love everything, all words. For example, pranay is called as love, preeti is called as love, bhava is called as love, mahabhava is called as love, sneha is called as love. So these are all love, but in Sanskrit, we know that these are different shades and these are different levels. We know that. So if you read English translation, you're going to miss a big chunk. Mm. So better when you read word to word, mm-hmm. and see what's the Sanskrit word used there, and then try to search on that Sanskrit word. So and then you will know what's the difference between. So just like Chaitanya Charitamrita in Adi Leela, first 14 verses, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikriti Hala Adini Shakti Reka. Who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha Krishna's love combined, isn't it? So there Prabhupada writes, my Mahaprabhu is feeling the love what Radha feels, what Krishna feels, love of Radha, that is Mahaprabhu. But the word is pranaya, the word is not prema. Prema is love, but there is pranaya. Now, after prema comes prem, sneh, man, pranaya. There comes pranaya. So it's not even preeti, it's not even bhav. That's a very technical term. So the pranaya what Radha feels for Krishna, to taste that pranaya Mahaprabhu has come. He has not come to taste really prema, sneh or preeti. That's very low level. So this is all explained by Rupa Goswami, different levels. And that's why Bhakti Sanat Saraswati Thakur used to say, in future, foreigners will learn Bengali to read Chaitanya Charitamrita. He said that. Otherwise, he missed it.
Okay. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for taking the time to answer my questions. And thank you again for a wonderful class. It was really, really good.
Hare Krishna.
Very grateful. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. There's one question in chat box, Prabhuji. Nildan's servant, it seems. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. My request is that will you accept me as your disciple? Will you be my Siksha Guru, Prabhuji? Lectures daily dekhta hoon from morning se aur bahut acha lagta hai. Only bhakti bhav ke aapke lectures bahut motivate karta hai aap bhakti life mein. So please Prabhuji, it's my humble request, your servant.
Who is this? What's the name?
Mildan. Yeah, I don't.
Mildan. I don't know what he's talking about, but but you can listen and keep on going. So from where this Mildan Prabhu is there? From where he is? He's from India? Or?
No idea, Prabhuji. Yeah.
Oh, he can't even talk. Huh? Oh, he can't talk.
Yeah.
Assam. Okay, Mildan. So one thing, you send your phone number. I'll talk to you. That's the best thing if you're in India. And then we will talk. No problem. So Mildan, you type your phone number and send it to me on this forum. And then I'll ask some devotee to. Okay. From Shloka Prabhu, from same place. Achha, really? He's a friend of Shloka Prabhu. Anyway, Mildan, you send your phone number. Then we'll see.
Yeah. By the time, Hari Prabhu, please go ahead with your question, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanavad Pranam.
Yeah, I know. Okay, tell me.
Yes, Prabhuji, my question is that when we come to a spiritual path, so we know the fact that there is birth, death, old age, and disease. And after we continue to practice spirituality. But when we reach scripture, like Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a word, Ahituki Apratyata. But we approach to God, we surrender unto God just to get out of this birth and old age. So this is this not a kind of selfishness that we surrender unto God just to get out of this birth and old birth and death? Or we have to love God with everything? I don't understand.
Yeah, you're right. To get rid of birth that is old age, it's selfishness. Absolutely selfishness. There is a verse yesterday I was discussing from Bhagavad Gita. 7th chapter, which one? 29th verse? 7th chapter, 29th verse. Jara marana mokshaya mama shritya tantiye te brahma tad vidu krishnam adhyatmam karma chakram. Okay, number 602? 626? Yeah, just give me a minute. No. Wait. Just give me a minute. I just want to give me. Okay, I just want to take this photograph and then I'm just second number. Okay, sorry for that. Okay, so there is a verse in Bhagavad Gita, Jara Marana Mokshaya Mama Ashatyaranti. So there, of course, Prabhupada translates this verse from the angle of your devotion. But if you really read this verse, some acharyas, they say, Jara Marana Mokshaya. To get freed from birth, that is old age, some people take Maya shelter, Mama Shakti. They take Maya shelter. Now, the whole point is, people who take shelter of Krishna to get free of birth, that is old age, they are not pure devotees because there is selfishness there. But at the same time, if you read the first line of the purport of this verse, Srila Prabhupada says, devotees, I can't paraphrase, but Prabhupada says, devotees want to get free of birth as old age because birth as old age means material body and devotees want spiritual body. You see, this is the line. I can't paraphrase exact line. But the, somebody can speak that line? I don't know. Anyway, somebody can tell.
The first line of the purport?
Yeah, first line.
It says, birth, death, old age, and disease affect this material body, but not the spiritual body.
Yeah, right. So Prabhupada gives a hint why devotees want to get free of birth, that is old age. Although getting free from entanglement of birth, that is old age, is selfishness, and all these jnanis and all these yogis, they want to get free from birth, that is old age. Devotees also want to get free of birth as old age, but for a different reason. For jnanis and yogis, their aim is freedom from birth at this old age. But our aim is not freedom from birth as old age. Our aim is spiritual body. We want a spiritual body where we can serve Krishna 24 hours. That's why Prabhupada says, birth at this old age affect this material body. Because birth at this old age affect this material body, this material body is not at all conducive to serve Krishna 24 hours. There are problems here. But as a devotee, we want to serve Krishna 24 hours. So what's the solution? Get spiritual body. So freedom from birth is old age for devotees is actually favorable for service of Krishna. But for jnanis, freedom from birth is old age, that's a goal. That's the end there. But that's not the end. For us, it's anukul. And if you want to get free from birth as old age as favorable to service, then that is not selfishness, because service is not selfishness. So that's how we understand. So there's a difference in perception of freedom from birth as old age. So Prabhupada always says, get free of birth at his old age, or get free. Why Prabhupada is saying? Because that's the most favorable thing for service of Krishna. So either you go to spiritual world, or you become Jivan Mukta. So Jivan Mukta means you are there in this body, but you are not being affected by the old age because your spiritual body is activated. So that you have to understand. Otherwise, we will think Prabhupada is a jnani and yogi. That's not the point. Our goal is not liberation, freedom from Bhattacharya's old age. Although Prabhupada emphasizes a lot on this. So, and that's why you see other, Gaudiya Math people some Gaudiya Math people, not all. They are very nice devotees in Gaudiya Math, but many, but some Gaudiya Math people, they criticize Prabhupada. And so many devotees in Radha Kund and Shyam Kund, they were criticizing Bhakti Siddhanta. They were saying, these are all gyanis. They're always talking about liberation from birth, that is old age. We don't care about liberation from birth, that is old age. We care about love, loving Krishna. And so that's a big controversy, actually. Your question, if I really want to discuss it, will take around 3-4 hours to really discuss what are the complications in this question. This question can lead to big, it has led to big controversies between Bhakti Siddhanta, Prabhupada, and deviation in Radha Kund and Sahajism. And that's the big problem. But what they could understand is that even Vedas and Bhakti Siddhanta and Prabhupada, they were saying get free of birth as old age, because that's the real block to serve Krishna 24 hours. We don't get Sarup Siddhi. We don't realize the spiritual form. You are liable to be again trapped in illusion and actually fall down from the platform of spiritual life. So that's the angle of looking. Otherwise, it's selfishness. If you consider it as goal, it's selfishness. Did you understand, Harishi?
Yes, yes, Prabhuji, I understand. And Prabhuji, one more problem is I live in house, but to get another devotion to the Lord, it is impossible to remain to surrender unto Lord and practice spirituality in a house, and to kill me in myself, it's not possible in house. Yes, Prabhuji, yeah. So I emailed you, and after 15th July, I know.
Okay, good. Come to us.
Yes, Prabhuji, yes, Prabhuji. Thanks a lot, Prabhuji.
There's one question in chat, Prabhuji, from Shruti Mataji. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. My question is that how can we find out that we are eligible to preach Krishna consciousness? What's the stage? If we consider ourselves to be efficient in preaching, then that's getting pride in mind, which is not good for bhakti. And if we think ourselves very much fallen, then the enthusiasm for preaching goes away. So what's the stage and mindset to preach effectively?
Well, the whole idea of preaching is that we are fallen. Of course, we are fallen. I mean to say, we don't have to think we are fallen. We are fallen, isn't it? It's a fact. So we are fallen, okay. But that's the point. You are saying that when we think we are fallen, we lose enthusiasm for preaching, and that's a whole trick there. If we really think we are fallen, then we will preach. Because the whole point is, because we think we are not fallen, that's why we are not preaching. Because if I think I'm fallen and if I'm losing the enthusiasm for preaching, this means that actually I'm thinking within myself that I'm not fallen. Why? Because then we are thinking, oh, I'm fallen. How will I preach? What will happen? I'm not eligible to preach. Now, this is your idea. If you're really fallen, a fallen person should have no ideas. Am I right? I'm really fallen. So my whole conceptions are fallen. They have no value. So if I am fallen and if I think I'm not eligible to preach, then this thought is also fallen. This thought is wrong. You see the point? Any thought which comes from a fallen consciousness, that's wrong. So if a thought comes from fallen consciousness, I'm not eligible to preach, this is wrong. So then what's the right thought? If we are really fallen, we don't know what we go. See, if I'm really fallen, I'm stupid. I'm fool. Isn't it? That's the meaning of fallen. I'm fallen, so I'm stupid. I don't know. I'm fool. So what should I do? I should ask my master. And what my master says, you preach. Okay. I don't know what will happen with preaching. I don't know what's eligibility. I don't know what to do. Because my master is saying I have to preach. And somebody asks me, why are you preaching? Are you eligible? I don't know whether I'm eligible or not, but that's the order and I'm fool. That's all. And that's a real fallen person. That's a real fallen person. That's why Mahaprabhu said to his guru, when Mahaprabhu's guru said, why don't you read Vedas and all that? Mahaprabhu says, I'm fool. My guru asked me to chant Hare Krishna, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, and that's it. Isn't it? That was the reply of Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu didn't really tell to his guru, actually I was thinking what's my eligibility to read scriptures, but I didn't find any eligibility, so I'm not reading. No, he didn't say. He said, I'm free. Whatever my guru said, I'm doing. That's a real fallen person. A real fallen person can't even judge his own eligibility. That's the meaning of fallen. Number one, fool, useless, who doesn't have any understanding of right and wrong, who is like a donkey. The master says, and we're doing. So in that consciousness we have to, you're talking about consciousness? So in that consciousness we have to preach. I'm stupid, I'm fool, that's the order I have to do. That's it. What will happen by this preaching, I don't know. Whether I'll be successful in preaching, I don't know. Whether I should preach or not, I don't know. If it's said, I must be. Finish. You see the point? So then you will not get depressed if you think you're fallen. Because your understanding of fallen is wrong. That's the whole point. Do you see the point there? Our whole definition of fallen is also wrong. That's called mode of, see, we all, not you, we all are in extreme mode of ignorance. We don't have even definition of fallen correctly in place. That's our situation. We are actually, Bharat Maharaj is much better than us. Of course, he's much better than us. We are like useless people. At least Bharat Maharaj was mad. We are sensible, but still we can't understand anything. We are in worse situation than him.
Thank you, Prabhuji. There's one more question from Shruti Mataji. There are so many Prabhupada books to read. I have read small books, then Bhagavad Gita. Then I think that I don't memorize every concept given in the books I have read. So how to proceed further? Whenever I read Bhagavad Gita, I learn something new. Then how to read so many books and that to remember everything, whatever is given in those books?
Oh, actually, the best way to remember, suppose now if I give you some magical mantra, you chant that, and then your memory will increase and you will start remembering everything. And suppose you read everything and you remember everything. You know what will happen? You will become super egoistic and you will fall down. Because now you know everything, so you don't need to hear anybody's lecture, and you will then start instructing. Oh, I know this shloka, I know this. So it's actually mercy of Krishna, you don't remember everything. You have to look the other way around. Krishna is not allowing you to remember everything. Otherwise, you would have become mad. I've seen people become mad when they start learning. So I mean to say, it's not bad to remember everything. But if we start remembering everything before we are eligible to do so, then there is a whole problem. Now the whole question is then how to remember and when to remember and what's the eligibility of remembering. Now the whole trick is don't try to remember, try to follow what you read. And when you follow, automatically remember. So following is the eligibility to remember something. Because if you remember something without following, then that will produce false ego. And that will lead to our fall down. Because then there'll be just knowledge, or let's say, so there'll be just a burden of knowledge, but there'll be no realization within. So that burden of knowledge will kill us. So why to carry the burden? So that's how I do. Just read, try to follow. So it's not that you will be able to follow 100%. Nobody's saying. But if you sincerely try to follow something, so automatically you start remembering it. And then that will be true remembrance. That will be with you for a whole life. Otherwise, it will be just planning. So that's how I do. That's why I think it's a safer method. Rather than cramming and remembering. Krishna is making you forget everything and not allowing you to remember, to give you a message. Try to realize, don't try to cram. And then I will, by my mercy, I will make it. That's what I think.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you for such a beautiful answer. If no one has any further questions, we can end the call here.
Prabhuji.
Thank you,
Prabhuji.
Prabhuji.
Sorry, yes. Sorry, I interrupted. I just wanted to share something which I was just getting it right now regarding one Prabhu's question, you know, about this liberation from cycle of birth and death or birth, death, disease, old age. I was just reading Bhagavad Gita 14.22, wherein Prabhupada writes that, you know, I'm just reading it out. He writes that the qualities of the material mode in the body will act, but as spirit soul, the self is aloof from such activities. How does he become aloof? He does not desire to enjoy the body, nor does he desire to get out of it. Thus, transcendentally situated, the devotee becomes automatically free. He did not try to become free from the influence of modes of material nature. I just wanted to share, you know, that the devotee doesn't even want to get out of his body, Prabhupada says, because he is already so transcendentally situated. So regarding this liberation,
yeah,
from
that your answer, your anyway, thank you for sharing that. But you know what you have read, that needs a lot of explanation, because that's okay. That's one angle to see. A devotee doesn't want to get free of body because he's transcendentally situated. That's the most important thing. But we are not transcendentally situated. So it's a big block for us, modes of material nature, birth, disease, old age. So we desire to get out of it, but only for service. And once we are out of it, then we don't have to do anything. So this Prabhupada's quotation really needs a lot of explanation, because if we think that Prabhupada is saying this, then there are so many quotations where Prabhupada is saying devotee wants to go beyond modes of material nature, go beyond modes of material, become transcendental, become free of birth, death, disease, old age. So you see, so we have two quotations of Prabhupada. One this and the other directly contradicting this statement. So now we have to harmonize. The harmonizing thing is this, that when Prabhupada is saying devotee doesn't want to get out of this, this means the devotee doesn't want to set a goal to get out. This is not our goal. Our goal is service. But when Prabhupada says, become free of birth, death, disease, old age, get out of it. Prabhupada is saying so many times. So that means we want to get out of this because we want to serve Krishna. So this is how we have to harmonize both things. Otherwise, it will land into big contradiction. And so that's what I told you. This question might need 3 hours of discussion. And that's the whole problem which Radha Kund Babaji, they couldn't understand. Because Prabhupada has so many statements which are directly contradicting each other, because they are at different levels. There are different levels. That's the whole idea. And when we go to higher level, one statement works. When we go to lower level, another statement works. Both are correct, but because they're different levels, they are functioning at different levels. We have to see at what level we are, and then we have to decide what to do. That's in brief, this thing about this, what you shared. I think this has to be understood like that, carefully.
Thank you for sharing, Prabhuji. Thank you for the clarification.
Hare Krishna. Kamadika Mataji, do you have any question, Mataji?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you for the class, Prabhuji.
I don't have any question.
It's Hare Krishna, Mataji. Can I go again?
Prabhuji, just a minute. Kamadika Mataji has something to say.
And she wants to.
Okay, okay, yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Very nice class. You have explained so many nice things. Everything. So I just want to hear again so that I will hear the recording again. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Okay.
Thank you, Mataji. Prabhuji, please go ahead with your question, Prabhuji.
Yeah, where is that,
Prabhuji? Yeah, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam, Prabhuji. Is my voice audible?
Yeah, yeah. Who is this? Bloop.
I think he's internet connection.
So I just have a...
His internet connection is problem.
Yeah, your voice is breaking, Prabhuji.
Can you type your question in the chat, Prabhuji? Hare Krishna Srinivas Prabhuji, can you type your question in the chat because your internet connection is very poor. You are breaking and we cannot hear you.
Yeah. Yeah, what happened? I think he's not in position.
He dropped from the call.
Okay. Okay then we end up.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhuji, for such an enlightening class today, and we are very grateful to you. We look forward for your association again in the future. Yeah. Let's pay our obeisances to Prabhuji. Vancha Kalpa Sarubhyashya Krupa Sindhubhya Evata Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Kandrasri Bhagavatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai His Grace Keshavanand Prabhuji Ki Jai. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare
Thank
Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a beautiful class. Yeah. Hare Krishna.